Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 214. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
We got a couple new things, and then we're going to get into our in-depth look at Rambo First Blood Part 2 as we continue going through the Rambo series. But yeah, like I said, first we got a couple... Well, I guess one of them was a TV show, which I think just came on Netflix. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, it's The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance, which is a prequel to the 1982 Jim Henson film, The Dark Crystal. It takes place in this place called Thra. There are these like bird-like creatures, the Skeksis, who are lords of the crystal, which is like the heart of this world. And their quest for immortality has darkened the crystal and basically poisoned the world here. And they are kind of the overlords of all these other creatures that live here, including the Gelfling, who are like the heroes of the original film. They're like these little halfling type creatures, or like short, maybe like little elf looking things. They start to realize that like something's up, and that the Skeksis are not, you know, the benevolent lords that they have appeared to be over the years. So it's just this you see the seeds of rebellion being planted, and until you get to the finale, where there's a full on like, you know, resistance battle against these bird creatures. It's a ton of fun. Like, it's all puppetry done. So, it looks very similar to the original film. But in some cases, like, way better, because they've just added some details. Cause they've done some like CGI additions here that just add a little bit. To
but
everything.
It is mostly like practical effects and
yeah, puppets. It's mostly puppets, and they look great. Like, the Skeksis are disgusting, like giant bird, nasty creatures. But the big thing here is like the voice acting is phenomenal. They have a list run of like people in here: Taron Egerton, Anya Taylor-Joy, Simon Pegg, Mark Hamill, Benedict Wong, what the hell is her name? Awkwafina. Nathalie Emmanuel, who played Melisandre on Game of Thrones. She's one of the leads here. Like, Keegan-Michael Key is in this. And everybody sounds great. Like you could not pick out like that it's Mark Hamill or Simon Pegg doing the two characters they do. And they play two of the evil Skeksis. Simon Pegg plays this scheming chamberlain, and Mark Hamill plays this like kind of mad scientist. And they're phenomenal in it. It's like super fantasy based, like it's like crazy Lord of the Rings. But
puppets
just done with these puppets, and it looks phenomenal. Like, and they do a great job of like building this world out, which in the original movie, like it's really cool looking. Like, I remember, I haven't seen it in years, but it looks really cool, and I remember like liking the world. But it's only 90 minutes long. Like, you can't really build a ton out in that time period, and this just gives you, like, you're looking at like the interlockings of the inner workings of like the different classes, and even within the same races, like the Gelfling, they're split into seven different clans, and there's just ones that live underground, and they're treated like shit. Like, the other clans like treat them like garbage, but they even view themselves as being better than some of the lower, like the other creatures. So there's a lot of like really. A lot of like really political like things going on, like metaphors for what is happening today. In fact, like you could draw some direct comparisons to the far right in terms of the Skeksis here. And like the resistance that is built up in the world, not just like here in America, but everywhere against them, and how it's like hard to fight back against them because it's so ingrained in a lot of cases. So there's a lot more here than you would expect from a what I guess some people would consider a kid's show, but it's also like very dark. There's like a lot of death. Like, I don't know if I would certainly not show this to my 7-year-old. it's a bit darker than that, but I really enjoyed it. Blew through the entire thing over like the last like less than 7 days. So
that's amazing. So you said this prequel series is 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Are they hour episodes or what?
Yeah, they're like between like 40 minutes and an hour each.
Wow, you knocked them back. That's amazing. You must be like, are you like a big fan of the Dark Crystal, like the old movie? Like,
I have nostalgia for that movie. As I said, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I have a I'm a big fan of like the stuff that comes out of Henson's like out of his workshop. Well, he's dead, but out of the workshop that he built and that
they're company. Still around though, right? Like,
yeah, so like it is the Jim Henson company that did this. Evidently there are like five of his kids that run the they run the company. I was actually I for some reason thought that Disney had bought them. So I actually thought like this is weird because Disney's launching their own thing real soon. And then I started looking into it and it's like, no, Disney bought the Muppets and something else from Henson. Like
they didn't buy his company.
They didn't buy the whole company. They only bought that. So the Dark Crystal remains with Henson. And I guess they've been trying to get this made for a while. And yeah, it is weird because it's like this is what you expect from like the Henson company. But it's also I associate so much of Henson with the Muppets that it's weird that like this isn't coming from the people that make the Muppets anymore.
And it's like, you know, it's just weird that this got made because like I don't think there's a lot of, I think if you are of a certain age and stuff, like, you know, you remember the Dark Crystal or whatever, but it's not like revered like the Muppets are or whatever.
Right. So, I mean, it was a commercial failure like when it came out.
So. Yeah. Fun fact, I've never seen it. So I have like, I've always been aware of it and I've always kind of like wanted to see that movie. And like, I remember seeing like the box for it and just always being intrigued by it. But then for whatever reason, I've never seen it. Maybe I'll give the show a go. I don't know. But
I think like I'm going to go back and watch the film.
I was going to ask you. So I was just going to ask you.
But I've heard from people that now they had never seen the film before, but they went to it recently and they were like, this is not good.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's scary. But like, I have like a fondness for it. Because I remember it from like, when I was a kid. And I remember it being like this, it was this dark, like, I mean, it was a movie, I guess, for kids. Like it was around that time, but I remember it being like this dark thing that, like Labyrinth wasn't dark like that, and
it's darker than Labyrinth.
Yeah, like it's a dark. I mean, like Labyrinth is very much about the kids being kidnapped by like the Goblin King, but yeah
I remember it being kind of edgy as a kid. That's another one I've not seen that. I've seen it, but I've not seen it in so long. Like, you know, I couldn't tell you.
But I remember like Labyrinth like has like, you know, there's like sing songy stuff and like I don't remember the Dark Crystal being like a musical or like really playing that side. It was, you know, they were doing this like dark fantasy story. It's with puppets and like it was, you know, PG or whatever, so it was, you know, it wasn't this crazy thing, but
yeah.
it's darker than you would expect like a normal kids film to be. And this series is way darker than that. Like, there's a lot of death. There's a lot of like gross things going on. There's some gore in it at points. Like, it's pretty hardcore for, you know, what you would expect coming out of historically, I guess, what is thought of as a kid's property. So,
there's part of me that's kind of intrigued and might, might give that show a shot. But again, it's like, I don't have any nostalgia for the Dark Crystal to begin with. So,
right.
We'll see. I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot for me lately to like watch or whatever. So I've been like just digging through old movies and shit. So maybe I'll give it a go. Well, you finished the whole season. You have a rating for us?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5. I really came out of it liking it a lot. Like, especially in the only other series that, like, I burned through, and granted, it was only 5 episodes, was Chernobyl when I finally sat down to watch that. Like, nothing else has really, like, come out that I've been like, I need to sit down and continue watching this. Like, there's been some stuff I'm like, this is good, but...
Yeah. I'm going to keep...
Like, pulled me.
I'm going to take this opportunity to plug once again and keep pushing Euphoria on you. It's really good.
It's one I have there. And I'm sure like once I sit down, I'll be like, yes, this is really good. And I continue to watch it. It's just,
I'm interested to see what you'll say, because like, I could see people being off, like the show being off putting to them, because it's kind of like intense and taboo and stuff. But like, I'm just interested to see what your reaction would be. You might be like, fuck this show. I have no idea. But, it's easily, I think, the best show I've seen all year. And then there's been so many good TV shows this year. It really has. I don't even know that we've talked about all of them. We will come end of the year. But anyways, that's cool. I'll maybe give it a go.
All right.
Available on Netflix right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I have a new film that is available on Shudder. I think it's a Shudder exclusive called Beelzebub. At least that's how someone pronounces it in the film at some point. This is it's directed by Emilio Portes. And it's like kind of like a demonic possession / religious horror film, I'd say.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to like talk around certain things to like not spoil it too much, but basically the premise here is, all right, so like the opening scene of the movie, there's like this couple, they just had a kid, they're in hospital, what do they call it? Like the nursery, like where they put all the little kids in or whatever.
Right.
And this lady walks in and fucking stabs all the kids to death and then slits her own throat. It's fucking crazy. Like, I was like, damn, that's one way to open a horror movie. Like, we're going hardcore here. And then it like fast forwards to 5 years later. And the dad who lost his kid in the opening scene, he's like this cop who he's kind of a wreck, it seems like, since that happened. And these murders start happening again, kind of where it's like these mass murders are going on. Someone will walk into like a children's party or something with a bomb strapped on and blow themselves up. It's always like these mass murders of like children too. Someone will walk into a school, shoot a bunch of kids and then shoot themselves. And so we're following this cop who like has gone through this himself as he's investigating these series of mass murders, trying to figure out like, what the hell is behind this? Is there some sort of like weird cult that's like directing this and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to really spoil it beyond that. I think that a lot of the fun with this movie was like me just going in cold I had no idea anything about it. I just assumed by the name that it was in that vein. But other than that, like, I didn't know it was going to open with these mass murders and shit. I was like, holy right. fuck. Kind of got me hooked right away. Also, the lead here, this actor named Joaquin Cosio, he's really good. I really like him. He has a very expressive face. And he runs... I think the name's actor is like Brendan Gleeson. He kind of reminds me of him a little bit.
Okay.
Who's like, he played like the cop in Mr. Mercedes.
Yeah.
He's a dad in 28 Days Later.
Yeah. He's like, he kind of has a older, refined look to him.
Kind of like, you know, portly guy. Yeah. But yeah. And that's kind of like, I don't know why, like, this actor reminded me so much of him, but he's really good himself, too. Like, I think he carries the movie here. You have Tobin Bell farting around as a, like, this, like, rogue priest in this.
Okay. He has a creepy look to him.
Yeah, did you see a picture of him in it?
I haven't seen him, but I just, like...
Oh, just in general?
He played Jigsaw. Like, he is a creepy-looking dude.
Well, yeah, he's, like... Like, you wouldn't think he's a priest when you first see him in this. He's, like, all covered in tattoos and shit, and you're like, is this guy, like, running a cult or whatever? God, I'm trying not to give too much away here. But anyways, just suffice it to say that I think kind of like the what the fuck is going on factor kind of like hooked me and kind of pulled me through this. And I found the twists to be enjoyable enough. You know, like once I found out what was going on, I was like, oh, that's pretty neat. I like that idea. Like, that's a cool idea for a movie. There's definitely some good, like, solid scares in this, too. There's, I'm, like, on the fence of whether it's... There's a part with a Jesus statue that is, like, pretty fantastic, I think. And, yeah, this is, like, a nice little, like, surprise little horror movie. Like, it's not gonna, like, knock your socks off, I don't think. But it's a fun mix of, like, this police procedural... with this cop who's, like, trying to solve these crimes, and then it kind of goes into more, like, you know, demonic possession-type territory.
I like that. I'm looking at some images on IMDb of this. I love the color scheme they have going. Like,
it's a good-looking film for what it is, yeah. I will say this. I think that there was, like, one instance of, like, really bad, like, CGI blood that stuck out to me. But okay. For the most part, everything else, like... It has the film has a nice look to it, you know. It's like one of these like border films, so sometimes it has like the kind of that yellow tint, you know, to it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And again, like some of the effects for like, I'm assuming this is kind of a low budget thing. Like again, this like Jesus statue part, I was like really impressed by for what it is. And I'm assuming it's like CGI, but it looked cool to me. Again, it's a fun, I think it's a little under 2 hours, but I enjoyed it. Like I said, it didn't like blow me away, but I was surprised enough by the quality of something that was like just kind of like the straight to Shudder exclusive.
Right.
I'd say if you have Shudder, it's definitely worth checking out. Like, and especially if, like, I think you're kind of into the genre a little more than me. I think you dig it.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably, it sounds like something I would like.
You know, it's not a reason to get Shudder, but if you have Shudder, I'd say definitely check it out. It's a good, solid, you know, 2 hours horror movie. I'm gonna give it 3 stars, but again, it's like a strong 3. Like it's worth checking out.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that to let people like. Hopefully, I didn't spoil anything too big. Well. Fuck it. Let's get into what we came here for, Chris. And I'm actually excited for this one. Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Such a bad name.
It's weird, and I think we could talk about why. Yeah, fuck it. Let's talk about that real quick. Why it's called Rambo First Blood Part 2. It was just going to be called First Blood Part 2, but Stallone... Stallone wanted it, you know, to be Rambo, just like Rocky.
Which is fair.
That's fine.
I don't dislike the name Rambo as, you know, the series title. It's just that First Blood Part 2.
It's just
like, I get it. It's a sequel to First Blood, which is what the first Rambo movie was called, but it's just so goofy.
This series has one of the craziest like series of names. I think actually like the, you know, remember the angry video game nerd James Rolfe?
Mm-hmm.
He like did a video or something about it. He's like, doesn't make sense. It's like First Blood, then you have Rambo First Blood Part 2, then you have Rambo 3. You know, where was Rambo 1 or 2? Then you have just Rambo.
Right, it goes backwards.
Yeah, it's just fucking all over the place. Let me get the basics here before we dig into this. It's directed by George P. Cosmatos. Fun fact here, his son is Panos Cosmatos, who did Mandy, one of my favorite horror movies in the last couple of years. Script is by James Cameron, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, it's very evident, like,
that Cameron.
Yeah, that he was part of this, at least.
Yeah, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Definitely had some input here.
Okay, we'll get into that. It's had a budget of $25.5 million, did a box office of $300 million. This thing was a smash hit. And it released on May 22nd, 1985. We'll circle back to James Cameron. But just let's get, like, kind of the basics of what this is about and all that out of the way. So we covered First Blood last week.
Yeah.
And I think that film stands apart from the rest of the series, where it very quickly became something else here. So First Blood, I think, is kind of like this post-Vietnam kind of contemplative, like, drama almost. Like, it's like this survival action, but a lot of drama, and it's about how we treat, vets, specifically of, Vietnam War. And yeah, all that.
There's definitely a large commentary on, Vietnam War vets, how they were treated when they came home, and the implications and what that does to people, and also that, like, people that came back from that were suffering from, like, PTSD, and and we like ostracized them, or society did in a way, and they didn't get the help they needed, and instead, like, things like that could happen. Obviously extreme example, but
yeah. And then we get to, like, when they come out with Part 2, and it's just, it's a completely different thing, I think. Like, this is just a balls-to-the-wall, crazy action. There's still a little bit of message, like, kind of tacked on there about Vietnam, but it's like, this thing is just a crazy, like, prototypical 80s action fucking insanity, like, and... I mean, I'm just going to say this right at the top, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. So, like, I knew the trajectory of the series, so, I've seen them all, it had been a while, but I went into this one kind of expecting to be like, well, yeah, this series, like, shits the bed immediately, and then it becomes something else, and just kind of, I wasn't expecting a lot out of it. And it's not like... It's not like this is some amazing art or anything, but I'm just going to say this off the top. I think this movie is a ton of fun. I think this is my favorite film in the series. It's just nuts. It's just crazy, balls to the wall, like, 80s action maxed out. So, the setup here, and it wastes no time getting to it, is, Rambo is, like, in prison now. He's, like, doing hard labor in, like, this prison camp. It looks like a construction site or something going on.
he's hacking away at rocks. Like,
And in the opening scene, Trotman shows up and is like, I got a deal for you, You go back to Vietnam and do some recon on these POW camps. Like, basically get in there, take some pictures to prove that they exist, and you get a presidential pardon. And, Rambo's response is, do we get to win this time?
Yeah, I actually wrote that down. There were a couple quotes that I wrote down, but that was one of them. Was like, do we get to win this time? This time.
Yeah.
it's so lame.
I wrote that down as a note, too. And then with that note, I wrote, this is a 1980s fantasy action film about feeling good about America again. And it's completely...
Oh, divorced. My God, yes. Like, did you write a note down about the end credit song?
Yeah, it's it's his brother, ain't it?
I don't know who sung it.
It's Frank Stallone. Dude, it's a Frank Stallone classic.
It's like this.
How does it go? Do you remember? I like something about like, America.
Yeah, it was like basically that. It was like you know, we all live for the country or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
And his brother is like super right wing. I think Stallone is kind of hard to pin sometimes, and he has talked about the politics of this film a little bit. But to me, you know, I'm as left wing as it gets. But like to me, I'm watching this and I'm like, this is like what would happen if you let Republicans remake First Blood. Is this movie? It would probably be they would probably make it a little more racist than this. But this is like if they had their shot. If this is like if Reagan got to direct First Blood. Like this would be what came out. But it's just a ton of fun. It's fucking crazy. So,
yeah. So, go ahead. The song's called "Peace in Our Life," and here's a line from it: "Home of the brave, will never fall. The strength of our nation belongs to us all."
Dude, I cracked up because like it starts the song starts like right over like it's kind of like at the end Rambo's walking off and then this credits start rolling as he's walking off and the song starts right away and I'm just like what the fuck is this shit. So I stayed and let the credits roll and I saw at the end Frank Stallone credited with the song. I'm like, of course it's a Frank Stallone song.
Yeah, makes sense.
So yeah, that's like, so Rambo he's going back into Vietnam. He is going supposedly to take pictures. He fucking jumps out of a fucking plane, gets all like tangled up and loses his shit, whatever.
He cuts all of his equipment away, all of his like computer equipment and his shit to like tie him back to the base. He just like sawing away at it with his lucky knife. He just like jumps in with his like, I don't know how his parachute didn't get cut with all the fucking hacking he was doing at it, but he somehow was able to keep his parachute intact and land.
Yeah, so he basically lands with like he's got like his knife and his, I think he's got his like fucking he's got a bow and arrow now. And he meets up with this girl who was like I think she was like he was supposed to meet with her, right? Like
yeah, he was supposed to meet up with like basically a local contact.
Yeah,
Who was going to guide him into and show him where this base was, so he could take photos of.
Yeah, he finds it, and then we find out that he like never intended to follow the orders. He's going to get the POWs out. There's an awesome twist here. I mean, it's also fucking stupid, but the twist is that Rambo was supposed to find nothing so that the government could close the case on POWs and, like, you know, they wouldn't have to spend money. Basically, you know, they wanted to shut it, open and close case, whatever. But it's just like...
Right, because...
Why do you have to send them in there to do that? Just say, well, there's nothing out there, guys. I mean...
And they have fucking reconnaissance. Like, they have satellite photos or drones. Mm-hmm. Well, not drones, but, like, you know, photos, like, aerial photos of this area. Why don't they know? Like, why do you need to send somebody in on the ground? It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, it's like, totally bonkers. It's like, so he, like, saves one... I'm trying to remember, you know, again, this is, like, almost a month ago for me now, but it's like, he saves, like, one of the POWs, right? Yep. And he's like getting them the fuck out of there. And like, they like, he gets to the extraction point and they're like, abort, abort. Or they're like, he gets like left there with this fucking guy he just saved.
It's like, he's like 6 feet away. If he had like a 6 foot vertical jump, he could have grabbed the helicopter. They were that close.
And yeah, they just like, yeah, like, like, fuck this. This is not going according to plan. Like, you know. Maybe I'm not cynical enough, but I'm like, there's no way. Like, I mean, I don't know, maybe, but like, it's just, the whole thing is absurd, but it didn't matter. I'm having fun. I'm like, this is nuts.
So Troutman's a colonel, right? Like, he's Colonel Troutman. So like, what the fuck is Murdoch?
He's a shadowy government, like, bureaucrat. Like,
in terms of the military.
Like, what is his ranking, right? Like,
why is he able to pull rank on Troutman?
I mean, I guess he has rank because he's, you know, he's with the whatever the
States, like, what the fuck? Like, Colonel's pretty high rank. Like,
what's that thing that, like, the deep state? He's the deep fucking state, dude. He's got rank on him. So, like, Rambo and this dude get, like, recaptured, and then it gets even fucking better because you find out that the Russians are training the Vietnamese or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's just like you're throwing everything into the fucking pot here. And, like, Stallone is, like, getting tortured by these Russians, and they, like, they convince him to, like, radio, you know, back to Murdoch, basically, like, this government guy. I forgot what he was supposed to ask him.
Oh, when he's
being tortured and shit.
He's basically supposed to tell him that he's been captured, that, don't send anybody else in, because they'll be captured and killed too. Leave it be. which he has, like, Rambo is like, I don't know. They painted him since the first one as, like, the ultimate soldier, but he's also the worst fucking soldier. Like, he does not follow orders.
I know. It's like you, exactly, dude. Like, this guy has a serious problem with authority, which is like, again, it's like this weird duality that exists, you know, kind of in right-wing politics, I think, where it's like, they're all about freedom and this and that, but also you have to, like, totally respect authority, but it's like, they might have it both, like, he's this, like you said, he's this great soldier, but he doesn't do what he's told. He always just does whatever the fuck he wants, which is, like, not a good soldier.
Which, coming from, you know, looking now at fucking right-wing politics, that's exactly, like, they like to spout out how they follow the law and, like, Second Amendment, all this bullshit, but, like, as soon as anything goes not their way, they just, like, do whatever the fuck they want. It's like,
they only care if it's, if, you know,
like, do you want to follow the law? Like, do you want to follow the law or not follow the law? Do you want, like, are you a good soldier? Because, like, good soldiers follow orders. Or are you a fucking lone wolf, which is his goddamn call sign in this, who just goes and does whatever the fuck he wants? Also, if that's the guy you're sending in, why'd you send him?
I know, like, a known lunatic.
Right.
He's in fucking jail for, like, fucking going apeshit in this small town.
He destroyed a town in like, Oregon.
It's, like, a very good point. Yeah, like, why? Yeah, he's the one that could get the job done. But, yeah, like, you don't want him to do the job, though. You want him to fail. So why'd you send this fucking lunatic out there who's going to kill everybody and bring everyone back? Like, again, it's just, I think that's part of what I, like, makes me love it more, is just how fucking crazy this plot is. So anyways, they get him on the radio, and he's supposed to, say, like, don't fucking send anyone else, blah, blah, blah. And he just gets on the radio, and he's like, Murdoch, I'm coming for you. And I was like, fuck yeah, man. Like, I was super into that. And he, like, fucking just starts fucking owning people and, like, fucking killing everybody. I think it's, like, kind of a super satisfying, like, scene after that whole, like, part where he's getting tortured. It looks like he's, like, strapped to, like, some fucking bed springs or whatever the fuck, and they're, like, shocking him and shit.
Yeah, it's, like, some metal, like, I don't know if it's, like, a box spring or whatever, but he's just, like, strapped to it, and they have, like, a car battery or something with a dial turned to it, and they just keep cranking it, and... he does a really good job at, like, acting like a complete, like, lunatic being shocked to death. Like, he just, like,
there's more great Stallone moments coming. But, so they get out of there. Him and his sidekick, this girl, to get out of there. And all of a sudden, like, because it's an 80s movie, you gotta slip in a little bit of romance or whatever. Like, I'm surprised they didn't have the full-on fuck scene with the fucking music going or whatever. But I think they, like, kiss. They make plans. Like, she agrees to come with him back to the States and, like, live with him, basically.
She seduces him to, like, bring her back to the States. Like, I come with you. Like, and her, oh my god, like, the the borderline like racist use of her. Like all of it is like stereotypical like broken English.
And I think she's doing like a fake accent.
Yeah. Too.
Yeah. Like I think she's straight up American and she's just doing this fake accent. Like yeah, yeah. But anyways, it's all for naught because immediately after they make these plans and they kiss and all of a sudden they're in love. She just gets fucking iced immediately, fucking gunned down in cold blood by these fucking Vietnamese that find them. And then from there on out, it's just pure fucking, like, Rambo just fucking shit up. And I don't know, man. I have a lot of fun with this. Like, from here, like, I had fun with the whole movie. But, like, from then on, I was like, I was fucking, like, into it. I was like, dude, he's fighting the fucking Vietnamese, the Russians, his own government. It's so ridiculous and over the top.
He's fighting everybody. Like, he's going at it.
He's fucking taking people out with these arrows. He's got, like, these explosive tip arrows. He fucking, like, the commander on the Vietnamese side, like, this is, like, near the end now, he fucking, like, blows him up. Like, the dude, like, straight blows up from one of these arrows. You get the classic, out of nowhere, you see, like, Rambo's, like, hidden in the mud wall. Wherever behind one guy, yeah. It's like a fucking famous ass shot. You have him getting the chopper, like, or actually, he blows up, I think, a boat at one point with a rocket launcher.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's when he's escaping the first time. With the girl and the guy,
like those pirates or whatever, like,
yeah,
takes them out. He gets a chopper here near the end, and you're getting some like action scene like with that, like where he's flying around, like I think. Some pretty like pretty well done action for the time, I think. I think it's like a lot of fun him taking out all these guys and just fucking everyone up. And then he finally like gets back to like gets back to the base where fucking this Murdoch dude is. And this is like one of the best parts ever. He fucking like walks in with this fucking machine gun from the chopper, and he's just like fucking shoots like all these fucking computers, yeah. And like he shoots up this whole office, like this whole operation, this whole setup that they got. He shoots the shit out of it for a minute straight. He's just like, oh, I'm fucking dying laughing, dude. I'm just
I don't know if you caught this, but I'm like watching it, and they must have like thought like one piece of it looked better in like another spot, but he's like running through, like he's chaining, so he has these, it's this big gun and it's fed by like a chain of bullets.
Yeah.
And at one point there's like a shot where he's like towards the end of it, and then the next shot he has like another string.
They gave him a second
it
box
got longer. It's like, what's going on? It's just so he can like continue shooting for another 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just, the movie's just a whole lot of fun, and then you get to that fucking ridiculous part at the end with him walking in and just fucking shooting the shit out of these computers. Then he goes upstairs, he finds Murdoch, and he's thinking like, oh man, he's gonna fucking destroy this. And all he does is like, I think he just like he scares the shit out of him. He like slams a knife down on the table next to him.
He goes, mission complete.
Yeah, doesn't he like tell him like you better go fucking like you guys better get the rest of the fucking POWs that are out there or some shit. And then you get like, you know, the very end, like he talks to Troutman. I think Troutman tells him to like go be a civilian or some shit. Now
he's like, where are you going? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, well, how are you gonna live day to day?
Don't walk through any small towns.
Wait, he's gonna be walking through a small town. He's just like walking like off.
He just walks out in
Thailand. Like he's not home. He's like he's at the airstrip where they flew the helicopter to go get him.
Yeah, like, he just walks off.
He's still in fucking like Southeast Asia. Like,
and And I forgot how Free starts off if he's still like out there. I know in 4 he's still like he's off living in.
He's in Burma in 4. Yeah. Like he's just like living like as a hermit.
Yeah,
I don't remember how 3 starts. I'll see that this week.
So. Dude, I mean we'll talk about 3 next week, but. He does give like before he walks off, it's like a mini speech. It's nowhere near like the monologue he gives at the end of First Blood, but it's like some bullshit about, you know, treating the soldiers right or something. I forget what he says.
Yeah, well, Troutman's like they're doing like,
what do you want?
Or you'll get another presidential medal or congressional medal of honor out of this. Give it to them; they deserve it. And then he goes into like this spiel about how like. We treated, you know, they're treated like shit at home and they're heroes and we should treat them as such. And, just fine. Like, it is not as effective as it is in First Blood, where you're like looking at this like damaged guy who has been like pushed to the breaking point. And here it's just like, okay.
It's like this tacked on thing, I feel like, where it's like, oh yeah, we still got to continue like what the message of this series is supposed
right.
to be. And so like, you know, Stallone says this little thing, he walks off, and then his brother sings us away with this thing about like fucking patriotism and whatever. And that's Rambo First Blood Part 2. I mean, I'm sure I skipped, I don't know if you had some note, like, I mean, I'm not trying to rush the ending here. I mean, if there's other things you want to touch on that I skipped, those are just me basing off my notes from watching it like a month ago. Did I miss anything?
No, I mean we touched on the song. Like there was another line in it that I wrote down. It's like I guess they're trying to explain everything to Rambo, and he seems a little kooky to Murdoch, and Murdoch says something, and he's like. Troutman turns to him. He's like, "What you call hell, he calls home."
Yeah.
Great line.
Yep.
Just like the line is so stupid, but
Like, the
delivery is what like kills
makes it.
Like,
even better. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Richard Crenna is just like, I don't know. He is somehow able to deliver these lines like they belong and not like they were written by a complete buffoon. And he's done it like the, you know, for the entire series. So, yeah, that's really it.
What do you feel like is James Cameron-ish like in here or whatever?
The film that he makes after this is Aliens.
Yeah.
And I could see a lot of like the same mannerisms in his soldiers and, like especially like what the hell is his name? Murdoch's like a number one, like a Martin Cove, Erickson. Like I see a lot of that there. There's also like the, you know, he has like a very, you know, Cameron is known for kind of having strong female characters, and is like she is up until like that ridiculous death scene.
Straight killer, yeah.
I mean, she's pretty fucking badass. Like she sneaks into the Viet Cong base and like takes out one of the dudes and then like basically rescues Rambo from like the Russians that are there. Like she's pretty fucking awesome. So I think there's definitely like the staples of Cameron here. And the way the action is kind of coordinated feels very much like James Cameron knows how to put together a set piece.
Yeah, and I think some of like the concepts for some of the great action we get in this, I think is from him. I mean, he did the first draft and, you know, Stallone got his fingers on it and, you know, Stallone
did up.
and so, you know, I can see what you're saying, and I agree with you there, but also, like, I don't put this movie, I don't really give this to Cameron, this is Stallone, I think, like, mostly. I mean, like, Cameron kind of, like, I guess, disowned a lot of this. He's just like, yeah, dude, that's basically Stallone's work. And
I'm sure. Like, they're just definitely there are Cameronisms throughout this.
I mean, there's got to be, since this, you know, Stallone's working off of Cameron's first draft. Yeah. And, but, like, you know, like, Cameron, I guess, had characterized all the POWs and, like, really fleshed them out.
Oh, they're nobodies here.
Stallone, like, fucking, like, completely minimized them because they thought it took away from him.
Which makes sense. That's, like, I mean, it's dumb. Like, but like, I could see Stallone, somebody, man, with such an ego like him, yeah, being like, no, it has to be about me.
So there was a line Cameron said in an interview where he's like, yeah, he's like, he reduced them to the point that Rambo might as well have been heading all that way to go pick up a six pack or something.
But it is, like, and it's funny because, like, knowing what Cameron has said about it, and like what his original intention was, to see that Ed speech where Stallone kind of, like, ties it all back together, like, to the original, you know, theme of First Blood. And it's like, and you could have done so much more to showcase these, like, they were there, like, Cameron wrote them. There was a way for you to give them, you know, credence and not just be about Stallone and Rambo. Like,
yeah. One interesting thing I saw too, this is kind of like an aside though, like, that, like, you know, Stallone, I guess he wanted Troutman and Murdoch to be like the right wing characters, and Rambo is like neutral. And I'm like, okay, I guess, like, it's weird because, like, I do think that this entire movie kind of like, in a lot of ways, like, the series as a whole, but, like, this movie especially is very rah-rah, you know, pro-America 80s type shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it feels very Republican. I don't, like, again, and I don't know where exactly Stallone falls on the political spectrum. It's like, I want to believe he would be appalled by what's going on now. Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would hope so. But, like, look at Schwarzenegger, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
he's a Republican, but, like, he has also spoken out about what is happening now. Like, I don't know. I think that I would not be surprised to hear that Stallone is kind of, like, in that same vein.
I can see that
conservatism, but that he does not agree with what is happening today.
And it's like, Schwarzenegger, although he, like, says he's, like, a Republican and stuff, like, he, to me, doesn't, like, remind me at all of what, like, the Republican Party is like, especially, like,
now. Oh, no, not, like, at all, no.
Like, Schwarzenegger seems like an alright dude, you know what I mean? Like, I would probably vote for him, I hate to say it, but, like, he right. seems like he's not insane, like, and he's not completely corrupt, and, you
well,
know.
He is the very definition of, like, moderate politician, right? Like,
yeah, very moderate. You know, like,
he's not, like, too far either way. Whereas, like, the Republican Party today is so far over the line that it's absurd.
Yeah. So I could kind of see that, and it's like, but then I'm like, you know, I think that too. That I'm, like, looking for, like, the right wing messages in like Stallone's films, and it's like, I guess I could kind of see what he's saying where, like, I mean, if you look at, I guess, First Blood, you could say that's kind of a liberal film about how, you know, we should treat soldiers better and war is bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, but also, like, the people that he was, like, railing against.
The dirty hippies and shit, yeah, that were talking shit and spitting on soldiers. So it's like, it's weird, you know. I think what's weird about it is, you know, kind of hard to place in some ways because it was a different time and politics has shifted over time, you know?
Yes, very much so.
I guess we, a very interesting point when we get to Rambo 3. But
yeah, because that definitely has some,
yeah, some, I don't know, weird, if you remember,
implications.
Yeah.
I know what it's about. Like, I mean, yeah, it's basically about putting the Taliban in power.
Yes.
In Afghanistan. Yes. Which is fucking absurd.
It's insane now. Like, Rambo 3 is an insane relic.
Yeah, it's like you just look at it like Rambo caused 9/11.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, I don't mean to joke about it, but like that's like in terms of like what this is, like if you look back and it's like, oh, like look what we did. Like we took out the Russians. Yeah, but like the people you put in power then went on a 20-year kind of rampage against Western civilization. And allowed the right wing of the, you know, of Islam to kind of take over, and it ultimately resulted in some crazies from that side causing 9/11.
Yeah. Like,
and then them going and hanging out in the goddamn mountains with the Taliban to hide. Like,
yeah, and you know it's. I think Rambo 3 was very well-intentioned at the time, although I think there were people that questioned the politics of it at the time, but it was like, you know, it's just him trying to, like, stick up for, like, these underdogs or whatever, essentially. Right. But you're right. Like, it's so weird. I mean, we'll get into Rambo 3 next week, but let's wrap up part two here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I've been pretty clear about how I feel about this one, though. I don't know. Like, I'll let you speak a little bit on this the sequel here. Like, what do you think of it? We'll give our scores and stuff in a minute. But yeah, like,
I enjoyed it. Like, it is something.
It is something.
And it's a fun movie to watch. It's just like I coming off of actually having sat down and watched First Blood again, like this is not to the same like caliber of movie. And it's mostly because they've just, you know, they've cartoonized.
Yeah.
Rambo here. He is the prototypical 80s action hero.
There's like fetishized shots of his muscles, his guns and shit. Like it's insane. Like Stallone is in like peak fucking sculpted fucking
weird out shape, like, fucking like, I mean, he looks amazing in this movie. He's like a goddamn action figure.
Yeah.
Whereas like in the, you know, first movie, he's a dude. Like,
yeah, he's just like a normal looking guy.
And but it's a ton of fun. I enjoyed it for what it was. I think the action holds up pretty well. The dialogue is so dumb, but it's so dumb that it's fun. Like it's
gloriously stupid. Like yeah. That's kind of like my summation. Like, yeah, is First Blood the better film? Yeah. Which one? Like, if you said, like, you know, a month from now, yeah, sit down and watch one of these movies. I'm picking this one, dude. I really am.
Like, it's like fun one to me. This is like, you know, you have some buddies over, and it's like, hey, let's watch a Rambo movie. Like, this is the one.
This is the one that you put on. It's not first. I mean, unless you want to be all serious and sit there all depressed.
Right. And like that, I mean, that's like, it's a good, it's a fucking phenomenal film, but it's a, like, it is not the fun, dumb action movie you want to open up a couple beers and sit down and just watch stupidity on screen. And for that, it gets points. It hits those notes. It's fun. I don't know if that's what Stallone's, what he was trying to accomplish here.
I have no idea.
But that is the legacy that he has left behind, you know, 35 years later. So
I do think that, you know, George Cosmatos was just trying to make a fun action movie and just trying to like come up with a million ways to kill people and have fun making, like, I don't think he cared about it being.
He does, like, you know, like you cheer for Stallone and Coe and Troutman, and like you hate on the Russians and the Viet Cong because they are despicable, cartoonish villains, and then you also hate on Murdoch because he's just a complete asshole, and it's like, yeah, fuck the government too. Fuck them all. Kill everything. Yeah, shoot that gun in that computer room.
Yeah, like exactly.
It hits the right notes and gets you emotionally invested in it. For stupid as it is, it works.
Let's do scores, man.
I am going to give it a 3, but it is a, like, it's a big thumbs up. Like, it is a it's a solid film to watch. It's a ton of fun.
I am giving this the same score that I gave First Blood. I'm giving it 4 stars. Like I've said a billion times, it's a lot of fun. Is it as good as First Blood? Probably not, but this is, you know, if you want to see an example of 80s, like, stupid kind of B-tier action, this is, I don't think you do much better than this. It's a lot of, like, really cool shit happening in the second half of it. And it's just ridiculous, insane, corny dialogue. Like, scenes that, like, maybe weren't supposed to be funny, but, you know, like, him shooting up all his computers, I'm sure wasn't supposed to get a big laugh, but I was fucking dying laughing, so... yeah, I like this one a lot, and we will continue next week with Rambo 3. I did not take great notes in Rambo 3, so I think after we get, if you're all right with this, after we get past like the introing of it, I'm gonna like hand it over to you to like walk us through like beat by beat what happens in it.
All right.
If you don't mind,
that's fine.
Maybe I'll try to rewatch it, but
no, don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it next week, but yeah, tune in for that.
Movie dudes.